Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a bassline in Ableton Live 12 that you can actually perform, not just program. We're talking jungle energy, old school DNB attitude, and a rack of macro controls that lets one bass patch move from deep sub to dirty re-style byte with just a few knobs. If you're new to this, don't worry. We're keeping it beginner-friendly, but the results can still sound serious. The big idea here is simple. Instead of drawing loads of separate automation lanes, we're going to put the most important sound shaping controls under your fingers with an instrument rack. That way, you can shape the bass like an instrument while the track is playing. So let's get into it. First, create a MIDI track and load Waveedable onto it. For classic jungle and DNB vibes, set your tempo somewhere around 160 to 175 BPM. That range immediately puts you in the right world. Before you worry about fancy sound design, write a simple bass pattern. Keep it short. Keep it rhythmic. Leave space for the kick and snare. In this style, the groove matters more than the complexity. A really effective beginner pattern might just hit on the downbeat, then add a syncopated note before the snare, then maybe a little pickup at the end of the bar. That's enough to start feeling the pulse. Now let's build the actual bass sound. In Waveedable, start with a solid low-end source. Use oscillator 1 with a basic saw-style wave or something similar, and set the level fairly strong. Then bring in oscillator 2 with a sine or triangle to give the sound body and weight. A sine wave is especially useful for the sub, because it stays clean and focused. Keep the synth in mono or legato if you want that tight, classic bass feel. For jungle and old-school DNB, you generally want the bass to hit with control, not smear all over the place. Set the filter to a low-pass type, something like LP24, and keep the cutoff fairly low at first. You want the patch to start dark and controlled. Add only a little resonance, just enough to create some character without making the low end unstable. Then shape the amp envelope. Keep the attack near zero so the bass hits right away. Use a short or medium decay, a medium sustain, and a short release. That gives you a tight, punchy movement that fits the rhythm section without washing over it. Now, before we do any macro mapping, add a simple processing chain after Waveedable. A good starting chain is EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter, then utility. You can add light compression too if needed. With EQ8, clean up any mud in the low mids if the sound feels boxy. If the bass needs more body, you can gently shape the lower frequencies, but don't overdo the sub boost. In this style, clarity is just as important as weight. Next is saturator. This is where the bass starts getting a little attitude. Use a moderate amount of drive and turn on soft clipping if needed. Saturation helps the bass speak on smaller speakers and makes it cut through the breakbeats better. Then use auto filter. This is one of the main movement tools in the patch. Set it to a low pass mode and leave the cutoff somewhere in the middle to start. We'll use this later for macro control, so the bass can open and close over time. Utility is important too. If you're keeping this as one bass layer, set the width to zero so the low end stays mono and club safe. That's a huge rule in bass music. Keep the bottom centered, and only widen the upper stuff if you need to. If the bass is jumping too much in volume, add a compressor or blue compressor and use it lightly. We're talking just a few dB of gain reduction. The goal is control, not flattening the life out of it. Now for the fun part. Select Waveedable and the devices after it, and group them into an instrument rack. On Windows, use Ctrl-G. On Mac, use Command-G. Once the rack is created, open the macro controls. This is where we turn a basic bass patch into a performance tool. We're going to build four main macros. Macro 1 will be sub to byte. This one should move the sound from clean, deep low end to a more aggressive, harmonic-rich bass. Map it to oscillator levels, saturator drive, and maybe the filter cutoff. As the macro goes up, you want more upper harmonics, more edge, and a brighter tone. But be careful not to kill the sub entirely. The sub should stay present even when the sound gets angry. This macro is especially good for dropping energy into the track. You can keep it lower during intro sections, then push it up for the drop or for a more intense phrase. Macro 2 will be filter movement. This is your classic sweep control. Map it to auto filter cutoff, and if you want, resonance too. When the macro is low, the bass stays dark and closed. When it rises, the sound opens up and gets more urgent. That gives you tension, release, and movement without needing a bunch of separate automation lanes. This is one of the most useful controls in jungle and DNB, because it gives you that living, breathing bassline feel. Macro 3 will be drive or dirt. This is all about controlled aggression. Map it to saturator drive, and if you want extra roughness, you can also map a little bit of redux or drum bus drive. Keep it subtle at the low end, and more intense as the macro rises. This macro is great when you want the bass to sound more rude, more ravey, or more old school. Just remember, too much dirt can make the bass smaller instead of bigger, so always check it with a full drum loop playing. Macro 4 will be width or character. This one adds size and motion to the higher frequencies while keeping the sub-mono. If you want to keep it beginner-friendly, map this to utility width or another stereo control on the upper part of the sound. If you're more advanced, you can split the bass into sub and mid layers inside the rack, then widen only the mid layer. That's the clean way to do it. Sub stays mono, mids get wider. Now, if you want to step this up a little, split the rack into two chains. One chain is the sub. Use a sine wave or a very clean oscillator source, low pass it around 90 to 120 Hz, and keep it mono. Very little processing there. The goal is pure, stable low end. The other chain is the mid bass. This can be your saw, reese, or more animated layer. Here you can use saturation, filter movement, maybe a bit of chorus if it's subtle, and high pass around 100 to 150 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. In that setup, your macros become even more powerful. You can blend sub versus mid, move the filter, add drive, and widen only the top layer. That's a really solid old-school DNB workflow. Now let's talk about how to actually use this musically. The best bass patches are not just about tone. They're about phrases. Think in one bar and two bar ideas. A jungle bassline feels stronger when each phrase has a job. One phrase supports the groove. The next builds tension. The next releases it. So while the bassline is looping, move the macros in real time. Don't treat them like set and forget knobs. Ride them like performance controls. Even if your moves are a little imperfect, that human touch can make the bass feel way more alive. A great beginner trick is to record your macro moves while the track plays. For example, keep the bass dark and restrained for the intro, then slowly open the filter over 8 bars. Add a bit more drive as the drop lands. Push the bike up for fills or phrase endings. Then pull things back slightly so the track has contrast. That contrast is everything in DNB. Energy needs somewhere to go. A simple arrangement idea would be this. Start with a dark intro, low filter, and minimal dirt. Then gradually open the sound over the next section. In the drop, bring in more bite and drive. Later, automate the filter down for variation, then open it back up again. That kind of movement makes the track feel like it's breathing. Here are a few mistakes to avoid. First, don't make your sub stereo. That's one of the fastest ways to weaken the low end. Keep the bottom mono and focused. Second, don't overdo saturation. Too much drive can make the bass fuzzy and small. Check it at low volume too, because if it only sounds good loud, it might not really be working. Third, don't map too many unrelated things to one macro. If one knob does everything, it becomes hard to control. Keep each macro purposeful. Fourth, don't close the filter so much that the bass disappears. Always test your macro positions with the drums playing. And fifth, don't forget about gain staging. If the rack is too loud, every macro move can clip in a messy way. Keep the output under control. If you want a more advanced vibe later, you can try a few extra tricks. Add a hidden transient layer so the bass speaks better on smaller speakers. Use very subtle pitch movement for a vintage feel. Try sidechain compression from the kick so the drums punch through. Or resample the bass performance to audio, chop it up, and rearrange it in a more old-school jungle way. That resampling step is huge. A lot of classic jungle character comes from turning a performance into audio and then slicing it into new shapes. Here's a quick practice exercise. Build a simple four-note bass pattern in a key like C minor or F minor. Create your rack with the four macros, sub to bite, filter movement, drive or dirt, and width or character. Then automate those macros over 8 bars. Keep the first 2 bars dark, add drive in bars 3 and 4. Open the filter in bars 5 and 6, then bring in more bite and width at the end of the phrase. Once you've done that, export it or resample it and listen back on headphones and speakers. That's the real test. So let's recap. You've just learned how to build a creative bassline macro rack in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB. You designed a bass with stock devices, grouped it into an instrument rack, mapped useful controls to macros, and used those macros to shape sub, bite, filter movement, dirt, and width. Most importantly, you learned how to automate the rack in a way that makes the bass feel like part of the arrangement, not just a static sound. And that's the big takeaway. In DNB, macro controls are not just convenience tools. They're performance tools. They let you turn one bass patch into something alive. If you're ready, the next step is to practice building your own version and moving those macros by hand while the drums loop. That's where the magic really starts.